Hello, fellow Vault Hunters. I'm J. Michael Tatum, and you're listening to The Geek Show.
Welcome to News Trash. We take an extended look at the more interesting happenings from the last 7 days from the world of video games. My name is Rob, and as ever, I have been joined by Prob. Hello there.
Hello. Hello, 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 hello.
How are you?
I am very musical today.
Well, I'm a bit annoyed today.
Oh?
Do you want to know why?
Why?
This dates the video a little bit, but this is recorded on Saturday before England football match.
Oh.
Do you know what's trending on Twitter?
Could it be a sport of some kind in which
I'll just cut you short.
Oh.
This is the world we live in, right? England are playing Ukraine. We might have won, we might have lost. This is recorded before it happens. But trending on Twitter as we record this was Chernobyl because racism. And the world we live in. It just sucks, man. It just sucks.
Is it the anniversary of Chernobyl or something?
Nope. Because racist jokes.
I don't use Twitter. I'm notorious for being like completely oblivious to Twitter. So I'm not even going to bother asking.
It's just
what
racist.
The joke is.
It's just racism.
Yeah.
Because racism.
I'm not even going to bother asking what the joke is. All I will say is that if you're involved in spreading this kind of thing, then you're horrible, horrible little maggots.
Yeah.
Go away.
It's kind of a horrible transition, that, isn't it? Because that kind of is in the video game industry too, isn't it? Lots of people like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I can pick this up from being...
You can't. In the minds of quite a few people who play video games and are fans of video games, and quite a few people who are in the press of video games, that actually could be a very good segue to our first story. Because we're talking about Sony.
Okay.
And this could go one way, or it could go another way, it could go a third way, it could go in any direction. Me, I prefer to look at this as, I'll explain my stance after we find out what's happened. So, Sony have been they've been in for some pretty bad press lately, especially with the PlayStation store closures. I mean, they have clarified their stance with the PlayStation Portable store closure. You can still buy PlayStation Portable games, you just can't buy like the DLC and stuff like that. You can still buy those from the PS3 and the PS Vita stores.
So that's something.
The problem is that a lot of indie devs have come forward now on Twitter and called out, not by name for a lot of them, but called out Sony's lackluster performance when it comes to indie development. And that's a corner that Sony historically has championed a lot.
Yeah. But there's all sorts of moving parts on this. As far as the accusations as well, there's all sorts of moving parts on that too, is what I meant.
Yeah. Well, that's what I meant as well. It's not just from one side. There are all sorts of moving parts. We don't know the full story on a lot of these things. But accusations are flying on Twitter. And one of the things that people are hoping for kind of across the board is that Sony updates its policies with regards to indie developers. Which yeah. I do agree with. Now, I know Sony has kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit, especially when you have developers coming forward and saying that they are making more money selling their games on itch.io than they are on PlayStation Network.
No offense to itch.io, but it's awful and about as unuser-friendly as humanly possible.
Not only that, stuff that's sold on itch.io is DRM-free. And so, you know, you have a platform like that. Now, indie devs quite often sell their products on multiple platforms, right?
Yes.
On multiple storefronts. But some of those developers are locked into the PlayStation Network, and they're the ones that I think are getting the most hard done by the current situation, you know?
Yes. Just to sort of have a balanced point of view here, Sony are bad at this. £25,000 apparently to get preferential marketing treatment. You have people who are sort of case workers who are unequipped to do this job. However, the sort of discourse behind this is Sony's bad, Sony's awful, Sony's bad, Sony's awful, Xbox destroys Sony. That's not what I'm going to come from. I know you're shaking your hand.
I don't agree with that stance either.
It's the implication in saying stuff like that Xbox aren't doing anything wrong, that the treatment of indie developers on Xbox is fine, that Steam aren't doing anything wrong, that the treatment of indie developers isn't drowned out by shovelware, that Nintendo aren't doing anything wrong. The whole... To cut this story short, from my perspective at least, everybody is treating indie developers poorly. It's just, on the sliding scale, Sony is worse.
Yeah, so, at the moment. And the thing is,
it needs industry-wide readdress of how these storefronts work and how indie games are treated. Just the short version of what I want to say.
The slightly longer version that I want to say is that that's at the moment, okay? And one of the things is, you've mentioned Steam. Historically, Steam have been bad with indie developers.
Oh, yeah.
They have been hidden by hand shovelware. But on the flip side, Valve have acknowledged their failings when it comes to indie developers, and they have numerous festivals that go on throughout the year. I mean, we just had the Next Fest, which, again, was a showcase of indie developers. Sony, I think what's happened with Sony is they've been so focused on AAA games for a long time, for several years now. I think since kind of the, since around the time the PS4 Pro came out, they've been so focused.
Go on.
Was it before then? But I think that's when it became more and more prominent, more obvious that their focus was mainly on AAA games. And I think what's happened is their policies and practices that used to be okay for indie developers have now become defunct. They've now become oppressive.
One last comment from me.
Yeah.
People are suggesting that indie games have always been this much of a broader industry. It hasn't been. Indie game industry has evolved an insane amount since what Rob was saying there. Since PlayStation 3 generation. It's not even recognisable compared to that. So, devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Their policies could have been written mid-PlayStation 3 generation, and the industry has changed to now.
This is what I'm saying. They probably were written mid-PlayStation 3 generation, and at the time, they were fit for purpose. But now, they're not fit for purpose. And what I think needs to happen is Sony just need to take a step back and say, okay, right, let's re-examine our policies, and let's just make it fair, right?
Yeah. The thing that bothers me about this story is the internet hasn't looked at it with a level head.
Yeah, and that, I think, is the key thing. A lot of people have basically overreacted to this and said, Sony bad automatically because Sony have these policies.
And that's where I jump to the next story, because that's a story we should probably talk about in more depth, to be honest.
Yes. Speaking of indie developers, Hideo Kojima.
Well, he technically is indie, yes.
Apparently he has a deal going on with Microsoft. They've signed a letter of intent anyway. That states the two parties intend to work out the details on a publishing agreement for a new Xbox game. This is according to sources familiar with the whole thing.
Yeah. People who love Hideo Kojima tend to be on the PlayStation side of things, so I imagine there's a sense of betrayal from those idiots, let's be honest. It's just one box and another box. Don't have your loyalty and your entire personality tied up into one box. It's just ridiculous. But on a more sort of relaxed level, I think it's really, really good for Xbox, because I don't know whether games by Hideo Kojima are appreciated as much in Japan as they are in America and the UK, but if they are, that's a good scalp for them to get, because they are making real strides into the Japanese market, Xbox, and apparently with the Series S, they are doing better than they have done in a very, very long time.
Well, I mean, Kojima is a big scalp to get, but I think what's happened is Kojima's games and his focus on Western audiences has alienated...
I suspected that might be true. I wasn't sure though.
The original Metal Gear games and stuff like that, great, you know? A lot of people still love those games from, you know, both sides of the pond. The problem is, you see this, you know, from Metal Gear Solid onwards, you see this gradual westernization of Kojima's games, and you don't see any real kind of Eastern people in Kojima's games.
That's a very good point, yeah.
Whereas if you look at something like Yakuza, which is absolutely adored in Japan, and adored by people who are in the know here in the West, you know, it's so very, very, very Japanese.
Yes, it is. But this is good for Xbox, because there's a specific audience who love Hideo Kojima. I'm not one of them. He burnt the living hell out of me with Metal Gear Solid 5, where I really don't care anymore. But for a certain demographic who love his stuff, This is fantastic news for Xbox. If it materializes, at least.
Metal Gear 5 was it was all he was doing was Moby Dick. All the Moby Dick references in that just annoyed me.
And Quiet had to have claws off because reasons. Reasons. Deleting the history. Sorry.
The thing is, the deal's not done. I just want to stress that the deal is not done. This is just an intent to make an agreement. It is part of the negotiation process. It is not a done deal.
I can see it happening, though, but it's not done. Yeah.
Whatever Kojima and Microsoft's motives behind signing this deal, you see what I did there? Do you see what I did there?
I don't know, but go on.
Well, whatever their motives are, we'll find out. Speaking of motives, they're making or remaking Dead Space.
Oh, man, this is a story pretty much pretty... I'm a Dead Space fanboy. I mean, if you listen to the show for any sort of amount of time, you know this.
Well, Dead Space 1 and 2, not so much 3.
3 I tolerate, 1 and 2 I adore.
Weirdly enough, though, and I think just to reiterate a point that we've made only on a couple of occasions in the past, you regard Lost Planet 3 as, you know... as Dead Space 3. And Dead Space 3 as Lost Planet 3.
Yeah, it was a weird situation there. But, yeah, I absolutely, absolutely love Dead Space, everything about it. Just the aura, the style, the way everything was put together, the minimal UI, all of it was just... For me, it was kind of like the perfect game at the perfect time, everything about it.
Yeah.
And EA abandoned it because they tried to milk that cow so hard. There was like comic books, there was spin-off games, there was an animated series, there was an animated movie, there was all sorts. It was just too much too soon. So they burnt out.
And, yeah, I mean...
I think they turned the company into... Well, it became Visceral Games. I can't remember the name of the company initially. It became Visceral Games and they put Visceral Games to work on Battlefield Hardline, which coming from Dead Space is kind of like, I beg your pardon.
Yeah. Do you know the sad thing about Dead Space is it could have been one of the top-tier sci-fi horror franchises. Right?
Oh,
it could have been up there.
Without
a doubt. It easily could have been up there rivaling the likes of Alien, right? Easily. And I'm speaking this as a sci-fi junkie, right? The problem is, because they basically poured so much into it and expected so much out of it far too quickly. Alien, for example, the whole Aliens franchise... has taken decades to develop.
And yeah, I mean, it's different medium, so it's, you know, a bit different of an example, but...
Yeah, but you understand my point. You don't need to have a Dead Space movie straight away. You don't need an animated movie or an animated series. Maybe a couple of comic books here and there, but you don't need all the other stuff.
Tell your
stories through the medium of video games. That's what they're for.
But this is going to be done by Motive Studios, apparently, who did the Star Wars Squadrons game. And allegedly, they've been paying attention to what Resident Evil's been doing with Resident Evil 2 and 3. I believe it was them one of the ones we were referring to.
They were also co-developers on Battlefront 2 as well, new version of Battlefront 2.
My thing here is, if this is just the rumour mill being the rumour mill, it's very cruel. If this is real and it ends up being a thing... and it ends up breaking Dead Space, it's even more cruel.
But there is a third option, right? EA seem to be warming back up to the idea of character and story-driven single-player games, single-player adventure experiences, especially with the success of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah.
You know? And with that being such... I mean, that was a massive success for them. It did a lot to restore, you know, the Star Wars fans' faith in EA as a company.
I mean, I like that game. It felt like a Star Wars game rather than just some old crap that they put a Star Wars skin on.
Exactly.
But this, I'm curious and sitting on tenterhooks because this is a game where you either get it perfect and you bring back all the lapsed fans and those hardcore fans, or you absolutely kill any potential that series has to be in anything ever again.
Yeah. The thing that has me thinking that this may be a true thing that they're looking at, and that it may be, and fingers crossed, I hope it does, because I do like Dead Space. I hope it does turn out to be better than we think. Several things that give me faith in that. Number one, the success of Jedi Fallen Order, right?
Yes.
Number two, the re-release of the Mass Effect collection.
Yes.
Right. But I think the fact that the new Dragon Age game is not going to be a live service game is also a factor in this.
Yeah, they're putting all of the sort of disgusting capitalist eggs in the FIFA basket.
Yeah, and removing them from the actual story-driven, character-driven, narrative adventure things. And I, for one, I'm down for that.
Yeah,
I'm good with that.
I'm still hugely sceptical.
Sceptical, yes, but I am down for giving them a try. Speaking of expecting failure but hoping for success, Konami.
Go on.
I'm good with these segues today, aren't I?
Yeah, it's a miracle what sleep can do, but yeah, come on.
Konami has teamed up with Bloober Team, and they have announced that their partnership on a strategic cooperation agreement, it should be, on a new game, a new IP.
It is going to be Silent Hill, but nobody said Silent Hill.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, all of the rumours are saying, Silent Hill, it's going to be a new Silent Hill. And Bloober Team doing it, because the medium was basically Silent Hill, let's be fair. It's heavily inspired by Silent Hill. Even Bloober Team admitted, look, we were inspired by Silent Hill.
Yeah, there's been a backlash against this because a lot of people believe that Bloober Team are a B-tier studio, and people who believe that have a very sharp memory about what happened to Silent Hill towards the end. I think towards the end it was done by C and D grade studios. So this is...
Yeah, I mean, what planet are these people living on? And obviously, if they don't remember the latter-day Silent Hill games, you're not real Silent Hill fans if you never played them.
Wasn't there a few on the Wii, if I remember?
Yes, there were. Right, Silent Hill, if you never played stuff like Silent Hill Origins or Silent Hill Downpour or any of those games, you know, then you're not a real fan.
Yeah. A B studio is an uptick, frankly.
Yeah, exactly.
And only like genuine classics, the first three, let's be honest. The rest were kind of just average at best.
I will also say, right, I know everyone talks about how good Silent Hill 2 is, with good reason, you know, with good reason.
3 deserves more respect.
3 deserves a hell of a lot more respect, and The Room deserves a hell of a lot more respect, because The Room was such an interesting idea for a Silent Hill game, and for a horror game in general.
Yeah, I think Bloober could do something interesting with it, and I'm interested to see what they do with it, because all of the studios who basically dragged Silent Hill into the muck, not to point fingers, but they're all American studios, and Bloober Team are Polish, so they'll have a very different perspective to bring to it and lend to it.
Do you know what I would love to see is for them to go back to the original Silent Hill game, the very first one.
Well, I'd just like to see them do something that only they can do, bring their fresh perspective to it.
But that's the thing, I would love for them to go back to the original Silent Hill game and do a modern-day remake of the original Silent Hill, because that game, right, for me, that game is in many ways, for me, because that was the very first survival horror game I played before Resident Evil.
It's pretty much mine too. That's why I always have a huge soft spot for Silent Hill over Resi.
And I will say this, right? No other game since then has had killer ghost babies.
That was only in the demo, though.
No, it wasn't.
That bit in particular was only in the demo.
No, that was the demo that came with Metal Gear Solid.
No, but the reason why you bring up that bit that was only in the demo, because no bit in a survival horror has ever messed me up quite as much as that bit in the Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, hang on, did you play the exploration or did you play the survival mode?
All I remember is this bit where I was in an alley, I couldn't get out of the alley, and then all the little killer babies started like circling in on me, and you
that was survival
escape.
Mode. That was survival mode.
And
you
stabby,
played the
stabby,
wrong
stabby,
mode.
Stabby, 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 stabby,
yeah,
stabby,
you
stabby,
played,
die.
You totally played the wrong mode. I looked at it and went, survival mode? No, I want to see what this is like. So I played the exploration bit and that. I could manage that because you're exploring the school and that.
But yeah, I'm just happy that Silent Hill is largely all but confirmed to be back. I don't care who's making it. I just care that someone's making it.
Yeah, absolutely.
End of the day.
Moving on to some quicker news stories. So GTA 6, Rockstar have basically said that it's not going to be out until like 2025. And it will include an evolving map, whatever that means.
Like Fortnite was the example cited.
Fortnite's map evolves?
I don't know, I don't care. But this has pretty much killed any interest I have in GTA 6. If it's that that unimportant to them, that they're just going to funnel all of their cash into GTA Online, that's how little a new GTA, even though that's the GTA 1, 2, 3, whatever, it's basically what made that studio.
Well, I mean, I don't think that they're funneling all their cash into GTA Online. I think that, because, I mean, how long was it between GTA 4 and 5?
I don't know, but not two, three generations.
No, it wasn't two or three generations. I think GTA 4 came out on the PlayStation 3.
Yes.
And GTA 5 came out on the PlayStation 4.
No, PlayStation 3.
Was it PlayStation 3 as well?
Yeah, towards the end.
Oh, yeah, it was towards the end. So GTA 5, yeah, that's a hell of a long time. I mean, GTA 5 came out, what, five, six years ago?
It came out in basically the last year in the PlayStation 3, so I don't know what that would be. PlayStation 3 came out in 2013, 2014, so it's been at least 7 years.
Yeah.
And then so they're saying it's going to be a further 5 years, so it's going to be, what, 13, 14 years between...
The only things that they could do, quite right, unless they do, options. There are options for what they can do. They've said GTA 6, right? But they haven't said any other GTA spin-offs. That's a thing that they haven't actually mentioned. And that's a thing that they've done in the past.
Bully 2.
Yeah, I mean, they might do Bully 2. They had Grand Theft Auto Vice City, didn't they?
Yeah, but I'll be honest, Bully is my favourite Rockstar game, so if they do that, good.
They're in your good books again.
Yeah, but I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either, but there are other things they could do. I think that possibly them not releasing GTA 6 until 2025 might not be a bad thing. Maybe they can make a better game from it, and maybe they can release other things in the meantime, you know, in these intervening years.
If you have any ideas for what GTA or Rockstar could do in the interim, comment below. And while you're doing that, please do subscribe, like, and put on that notification bell, because it helps us a great deal.
Moving on to, another kind of premature announcement. Oh, that just sounds horrible when I say it like that, doesn't it?
It's accurate, though, in this case.
These publishers are suffering from premature announcements. Bethesda's Todd Howard has said that Elder Scrolls 6 is still in the relatively early planning stages, and it's still some years away from release.
This is incredibly nasty and mean-spirited, even if he didn't mean it that way. Why? Yeah. Of all the fandoms in all the video games, like Skyrim is one of the most consistent and enduring. And well, to tease it...
I wouldn't say Skyrim, I'd say the Elder Scrolls fandom in general.
Skyrim being the most recent. And that you announced this years ago, and you weren't even thinking about making it at that point, is just so mean-spirited. So incredibly nasty and mean-spirited, and not thinking about the fandom.
It's annoying more than anything else. But I was looking forward to the Elder Scrolls 6 when I saw the announcement. I thought, oh God, yes, absolutely. Only to find out, no. Telling us that it's good to think of Elder Scrolls 6 as still in a design phase, especially when you've released an official announcement teaser.
Yeah. It's basically announced in a trailer like that. It's basically saying it's coming soon. It's coming soonish. We're working on it.
Yeah.
It's in progress.
Yeah.
And that was years ago.
It annoys me. It makes me angry. Anyway, we return to the lower middle class evil that is EA. And this time I'm allowed to say that because I used to work in this industry. So, you know, I have a reason and a right to say it. EA and Hi-Rez have partnered together to bring forward in-game advertising and to create their own platform for in-game advertising. Now, Hi-Rez are backed by Tencent, and so EA effectively are working with Tencent to bring forward this platform called Player One. So player, the word player, and then the word one, as in WON. And it's going to be owned by US TV advertising company Simul Media. It's designed to showcase video advertisements inside PC and console games.
Ew.
Yes. Now you see why I said why I described them as lower middle class evil.
So you're going to get adverts for other games, you're going to get adverts for TV, you're going to get adverts for all sorts, much like they did with UFC and The Boys within your games on a wider scale, essentially.
I'm waiting for the for when you're playing Call of Duty and there's an advert for Battlefield in there.
It's not going to happen like that, you're just being tacky, but end of the day, this is the sort of thing which annoys people and puts people off buying games. So this, by fluke, is probably the best thing that's ever going to happen to Konami and PES. Because people will be sick of the adverts, so they'll just get PES because there's none of the adverts in it.
Exactly. I didn't think of it like that, but that's exactly it. Wow.
I'm sick of these adverts in Battlefront or Battlefield. I'll just get COD. So yeah. Accidentally driving people to the competition through sheer dumb greed.
Yeah. So interesting you say that, because there was a thing that you and I both agreed on, which had to do with dreams.
Yes.
And that it was basically just sheer dumb greed that didn't allow that particular, well, I don't even want to call it a game.
It's misunderstanding of what it is. If that was released as a platform for creativeness and to be exported in whatever format you want, it would have basically changed the video game development industry overnight. So does the game. It kind of just blipped out of existence.
To be honest, I think Dreams was released on the wrong platform.
Should have been a PC thing.
If Dreams had come out on a PC or a Mac, right, it would have blown away all of the competition. Just the sheer scale of what you can do with that single program. The Media Molecule have started making a new game in Dreams, and they want the gaming community the Dreams community to finish the game, which I think is an interesting idea.
It's a wonderful idea. I mean, it's about Mega Penguin, which is about a shredded penguin, which I'm already interested. They've done the first three levels, and they want everybody else to sort of do the rest.
Yeah, and what I like about this, it's called Mega Penguin Rehatched, and it's a sequel to the E3 2018 tech demo, where they invited friends and fans to invent new adventures for the titular character that was then recreated it within Dreams. And now, what I really like about this is, Media Molecule have always been good at connecting with their audience, with their fans.
Yes.
They've always been very, very good at that. And they've always been very receptive to what people say. And what I love about the fans of Media Molecule as well is that almost to a man or woman, you know, they all are very positive about Media Molecule. And it's rare to see that in video games these days.
Yeah, but they're incredible.
Yeah,
honestly,
just the creativity in their dev team is just amazing.
Ingenuity and creativity in Media Molecule is unparalleled in the video game industry, in my opinion.
Yeah. Speaking of ingenuity, do you know who we used to think were very ingenious and also very creative was CD Projekt Red? These days, not so much. I mean, have you seen the latest thing that they've come up with?
No.
It's called The Witcher Monster Slayer, and it's their attempt at a free-to-play mobile augmented reality game. It's set to launch on iOS and Android on the 21st of July, and it's basically copying Pokemon Go.
This is basically CD Projekt Red saying, remember Witcher 3? You love Witcher 3. We do the things you love. Remember us. Like us. Please like us.
Are you saying CD Projekt Red have become the Tom Green of the video games industry?
Nah, that's not given enough credit, because Witcher 3 was incredible, but they are coming off a bit desperate now. They're basically crapped the pants so hard with Cyberpunk.
With Cyberpunk, yeah. Yeah, yes they did. Yes they did. So our final news story, and we kind of save this to last, because Sony have been buying things again. Sony have been buying lots of things again.
Well, yes. Two announced, three accidentally, announced. they have announced that they've bought Housemarque, which I thought they were going to do a while ago. I did call that.
Yeah, you did call that.
It's a safe prediction, though, let's be honest.
Yeah.
which gives that company in Finland the ability to be much more stable and grow and make bigger games, which, as a follower of them since when they were doing sort of Resogun and Dead Nation and this and that, that's just wonderful news. This is a studio that you appreciate and love getting some stability.
Yeah.
Nixxes, N-I-X-X-E-S, basically a support studio who've worked with PlayStation going back to the release of Killzone Shadowfall.
Yeah.
So they're adding sort of technical support and development support, which is always good to have them sort of studios in your bank. And the last one, which the PlayStation Twitter Japan accidentally leaked an image of Bluepoint Games have been acquired as well. And Bluepoint have kind of suggested that they're totally fully independent game studio in the kind of very nudge, nudge, wink, wink way in their social profiles. So basically studio, PlayStation Twitter Japan cocked up and leaked something when they shouldn't. So that's going to be announced when it's going to be announced. It's pretty much,
This is the thing. I mean, it seems to be a slip up from Sony Japan. You know, the thing is, I read something slightly different about this, about the Bluepoint thing, was that where the slip up actually happened, what they were referring to was Nixxes, was Sony buying Nixxes rather than Bluepoint.
It's the actual image which is suggesting this.
Sony went and announced Nixxes. But yeah, Bluepoint, I think, is definitely on their hit list.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time, if it hasn't already happened.
Yeah, there are a few companies that I'd say are on Sony's hit list. And see, I hate to say it, but I would honestly put Kojima's production company on there.
Eventually. The thing I like about Microsoft acquisition is we've got big meat in our pants and we're swinging it around. We're gonna, buy anybody. We've got so much money. Oh, this is £100 million doesn't mean anything to us at all. Yeah. Biddy big bollocks, the very definition of it. And that's fine. They're one of the biggest companies on the planet. People say Microsoft then S is instead of MS, it's M dollar sign. Which is fine. They're a big company. They've earned that.
Yes.
So Bethesda makes sense for them. But Sony are much more patient. They allow companies to basically find out who they are and develop really working relationships with them, like they did with Insomniac, like they did with Housemarque. And they just buy them when the time is right. They foster working relationships. Both are fine, but both are from two very different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So it's okay to work in different ways. The idea that Sony should buy this, buy that, buy the other, buy Capcom, buy Square Enix, buy Kojima Productions. No, they're by people who fit what Sony are.
The reason I suggested Kojima Productions is because Sony have a long history with Kojima. Kojima signing a distribution deal with Microsoft would be a slap in the face for Sony, which I don't think they'd stand for.
Not really, because Insomniac made Sunset Overdrive for Xbox and they were still bought.
Yeah, I know, they were still bought. What I'm saying is Kojima, in terms of reputation, I don't think Insomniac have the same reputation as Kojima.
Maybe not, but the thing about Kojima is he thinks he's an artist when he's basically just writing fan service with big boobs all over the place and nonsense that makes no sense even in Japanese. So it's not like a bad translation. He just doesn't make sense. So yeah, it's good. It's good for these companies.
Yes, it is good for these companies. We'll see. We'll see who else is on Sony's hit list. And I'm pretty sure we haven't seen the last of other developers being bought by Microsoft either.
Just to close this, there's a comment that was made in an interview recently with Herman Hulse where he says, is this the start of a sort of a turf war between Microsoft and Sony of buying up all of these studios and basically getting rid of a lot of the independent marketplace of games? There's no such thing. And I think that's true. I don't think Sony and Microsoft are just going to buy everybody, but I don't think either of them are finished.
Yeah, I don't think either of them are finished.
Yeah, that's all we have time for this week. So if you like what we do, you can join our Patreon where we have exclusive content, including exclusive podcasts, Doctor Who articles, and extra episode of Pop Screen, our music movie podcast. But also please do like, subscribe, comment, notification, the bell notification, because that does help us a great deal.
I'm Graham Williamson, and I like films starring pop stars. I like films about pop stars. I like films which have set design by pop stars. Probably gone a bit far there, I can't actually think of one of those. Anyway, this is why I've launched The Geek Show's new podcast, Pop Screen, where every week, me and a guest host take a look at one film, either starring by or about a pop star, and by pop I could mean anything from heavy metal to blues to disco to hip-hop, and we analyse it relentlessly, asking all of the big questions.
Ewan, who's your favourite Spice Girl?
Oh no. Can I say Richard E. Grant's my favourite Spice Girl?
And even giving some of the big answers with our unparalleled level of research and nerdishness.
I'm definitely a Beatles fan. I was on a Beatles tour taxi in Liverpool with my family, and the tour guide started referring to me for little details and to double check his facts.
So, whether you're an absolute beginner or a 24-hour party person, get swept away. I'll stop doing this now, I promise. By Pop Screen, the new podcast from the Geek Show Podcast Network. It's about music, it's about movies, it's about nonsense. We're hosted on Audioboom and available on your podcast provider of choice, as well as the Geek Show's YouTube channel. Remember to like and subscribe.
This is Sonny Strait, the voice of many of the voices that you grew up on. Yes, I raised all of you ungrateful bastards, and you're listening to The Geek Show. Kamehameha, bitches!
Welcome to Impossible Mission, the video game show that recognizes that it's impossible to talk about video games without pissing someone off. I am Rob, and I have been joined today by Prob. Hello there.
Hello.
It's raining as we record this, and I had to put the light on my recording remote because, you know, obviously. And it was like John Cena, you can't see me, so I put the light on, and then I'm fine. We're all good.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were sitting there in the dark. Obviously, we can't see you. I just, you know, because there's going to be thunder in the background, I was just hoping that you'd be sitting there in the dark and suddenly the lightning would crash through the, you know, flash through the window, then thunder would roll. It'd be like something from the beginning of a horror movie.
I watched a good horror movie recently called Vicious Fun. Just quick before we get into the episode, it's about a basic, it's on Shudder, about a self-help group for serial killers. One of the serial killers within the self-help group for serial killers is going on in vendetta of killing all the serial killers. Really nice idea, I thought. But anyway, this is not what we're talking about on this episode of Impossible Mission. This week, I introed it kind of lightheartedly because it's a heavy topic and the internet is taken to talking about it in very heavy, dramatic terms.
Yeah, PlayStation and indie developers. It's, you know, it's a tale of... It's kind of a tale of extremes, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you get right down to it.
It started from a Twitter thread where he said, I'm not naming names. And then he went on to say, yeah, it's basically PlayStation. And a lot of people basically jumped on the stockpile. PlayStation aren't exactly friendly to indie developers. The one thing came out, it was £25,000 to have a preferential treatment on the placement on the PlayStation store. And most everybody who isn't in a working relationship with PlayStation is essentially given a caseworker who goes over their placement and putting them on the star. And more often than not, the people who do this aren't particularly well equipped to do the job. Sales as well, that was another one where if somebody wants to put their game for sale on the PlayStation store, they can't, where they can on other platforms. I mean, there's a little bit more context to that one. Essentially, PlayStation want to have themed sales and put sales up in periodic fashion along those themes. Nonetheless, many games and indie games developers have been complaining for years. This is not just a recent thing about not being able to have their game on sale despite their many, many times of asking. So there's lots of things going on there.
Yeah. The thing that bugs me about this PlayStation thing, right? PlayStation have just bought a couple of developers. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, and don't worry, I am leading back to the indies with this. They just bought Housemarque and Nixxes, and there is a rumour that they're going to be buying Bluepoint.
A leak, Marlon.
A leak. Yeah. A leak, rumour, whatever you want to call it. And for a long time, and I'm going to play devil's advocate on the side of PlayStation, because I know a lot of people have been bashing PlayStation at the moment. For a long time, what I think has happened with regards to the PlayStation side of things, and I'm not being an apologist for PlayStation, I'm just trying to explain the situation as I see it. I think that they've been so focused on what's happening outside that they haven't focused on keeping themselves up to date with the trends and the changes of the gaming world as it changes and evolves over time.
On that, there is credence to that theory, because where Microsoft are talking about Games Pass and putting their stuff on day one, and they're not about devices, it's about subscriptions. PlayStation are very much on this old idea of you need to buy the device, you need to pay this much for the game, and not putting in new expensive experiences on a streaming platform. So there is credence to that. PlayStation are very much about 5 years behind the curve. Lord them as I do.
Yeah, and the thing is, one of the things that suggests that, again, what we're surmising to be the case is the state of PlayStation now. It's only recently...
They are pulling the finger out their ass in recent months.
Yeah, but only now. But since the advent of PlayStation now, they basically got to a library of 700 or so games, yeah?
Which far outstrips Games Pass, let's be honest.
Fine, but then it just seemed to stagnate.
Yeah, it's not that the fact that you can have 700 things on a service, it doesn't make them 700 current contemporary things that people are interested in.
Yeah, or 700 good things.
Yeah, just to clarify there.
That's what I think has happened. I think they've been so focused on competing and gaining a market share that they've let pretty much everything else that is the foundation of what PlayStation is and the dream of PlayStation that it was, or the dream of PlayStation from the beginning, I think they basically let that fall by the wayside a little bit.
Let's reword that a little bit. I mean, PlayStation have been so focused on the mainstream gamer that they forgot about the layers underneath it. They overlooked the layers underneath it. And the layers underneath it have become much more...
complex.
Complex, profitable, varied, intriguing. Complete industry of marketplaces has emerged under this mainstream place. I mean, it's not happened overnight. It's just, well, in some cases it's happened overnight. Some places, in some cases it's exploded into life. But generally, compared to what it used to be and compared to what it is now, you really comparing apples with spaceships.
Rob knows this, but just to clarify a certain point, a perspective that I have in particular, I collect games. Loads of people, loads of regular listeners, loads of regular viewers will know I'm a big games collector. And I have a lot of PlayStation games. And when I say a lot, I mean a lot. And I have a lot of PlayStation 1 games, I have a lot of PlayStation 2 games, and I have a lot of PlayStation 3 games. And I didn't actually realize how many PlayStation 3 games I had until we've just done like a house renovation and I've been clearing out stuff and I started cataloging the PlayStation 3 games that I actually own. And it's way more than I actually imagined. And of those that I actually found just for the PlayStation 3, I'm not even going back to the PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 1, just for the PlayStation 3. Of those, the number of titles that I could probably, there's probably a third of the titles that I own, which if they came out now would be classed as indie games. They wouldn't even be classed as AA games. They would be classed as indie games. The market has changed so much that what we consider AAA games has changed completely from what it was even just at the PlayStation 3 era.
Well, and I think this is an issue besides the point, but AAA is a very recent invention.
Yeah, it is a very recent invention.
It lasts 6 years, really.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. A Plague Tale, right? Is that an indie game or is that a AA game?
It's a AA game, but it's also an indie game.
Do you see my point?
Yeah.
Do you see where the lines are getting confused here? And I think this is one of the problems that you got with policies that were brought in years ago, especially during the PlayStation 3 era, because things have changed so wildly now.
Yeah, what used to be classed as indie in the PlayStation 3 era is now AA, and what is what was then basically a bedroom project is now micro indie, and there's a new one in between that, which is indie. And the micro indie is like one guy, and the indie is basically
a small team,
2 to 20.
Yeah, and this is the thing. You've brought in policies which may have worked and may have been perfectly fine on, you know, during a particular era of gaming, a particular generation of console. But now those rules that you had in place aren't fit for purpose. So maybe with Sony, it's more a matter of making them aware that these rules are no longer fit for purpose, and then they can basically make the change. I mean, Steam, for example, Valve, for example, right?
Yeah.
Once they were made aware of the outcry from people and from developers about the state of indies on Steam.
Yeah.
It took them a while to basically make the changes, but eventually they didn't reduce the changes with these festivals that regularly happen promoting indie games.
As bad as PlayStation Store is, I think Steam was even worse, because you go on Steam, once upon a time anyway, you go on Steam and the top page, AAA games you can get on any other platform, or nothing, really.
Yeah.
And you go into the indie games and you look for things, and I don't know, the latest hot project you might see. But everything else is buried under fathoms upon fathoms upon leagues and leagues of shovelware and crap, nonsense DLC and characters you can buy for certain games. It was impossible.
Yeah. Now it's become a lot easier to find games that are actually, that actually look interesting, or that might actually have a shot at, you know, making it big.
And also, another problem with Steam, while we're talking about Steam, is the refund policy. This has really hurt some indie games. There's this new type of indie game coming up, which is under 2 hours.
Yeah.
There's a great deal of them. They're not really games, they're experiences, the stories, the narratives. You know, you can find all sorts of examples of them, and usually good to play. And for a while, it might still be true, I don't know, is if you play a game for under 2 hours, you could get a refund, no questions asked. So people were playing these experiences under 2 hours, completing them, enjoying them, getting a refund, which was crippling these in companies which could only do these 90-minute games.
Yeah.
So let's not pretend. The internet has a habit of saying, oh, one thing that's happened is the worst thing that's ever happened. They are the devil. They are Bobby Kotick incarnate. But let's be perfectly honest. All these companies have bad things. To pretend that Sony, because they're the current one, are the worst, is naive and stupid, internet. Let's be honest. If we dig into Nintendo's, it's probably the same. There's probably a lot of problems there. If we dig into Microsoft, there's probably a lot of problems there.
I'm sorry, but how many games were basically lost to posterity because of Nintendo's store closures?
Yeah, Nintendo doesn't care about game preservation at all.
Yeah. So there's a lot you can, there's a lot of things you can accuse at every platform, every developer, and every publisher. You know, you can launch all sorts at them. But by the same token, right, I think gamers themselves have a responsibility. And this is probably not going to sound good for gamers, and they're probably going to want to lynch me for this. But I'm going to say it anyway. If you actually gave a damn about the medium of video games, you'd get off your ass and do something.
Well, that's just, there's this figure of speech that say you vote with your wallet, and people say, oh, I hate this, oh, I hate that, but they still go ahead and buy it anyway.
That's my point. They don't. Nobody wants to boycott a particular thing because, oh, you know, it hurts their enjoyment. And having that kind of double standards, having that kind of, you might go onto Twitter and call and say, oh, you're such a bad company, blah, 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 blah. But as soon as they release a game, you're there buying it.
Yeah.
So before you criticize that company for the bad things it does, take a look at what you do.
Oh, blimey, there was some lightning there. That was really dramatic, what Rob just said.
I know.
It's lightning. Very, very apt. End of the day, this is all just sort of open discussion. What I think really needs to be done, and has needed for a while, I want to broaden this up into sort of storefronts on the consoles.
Yeah.
I think this has been the issue with the PlayStation 3, the PlayStation 4, the PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, Nintendo Switch, Wii U, Wii. The storefronts are a monopoly.
Yeah.
And in any other medium, competition drives innovation.
Yes.
Whereas in consoles, There is no competition. This is what was going on at the story quite recently, how there was an antitrust issue concerning PlayStation Star games being too expensive.
Yeah.
It's because there's no competition.
Yeah. And the problem, right, I really feel for some indie developers because they are locked into a contract with Sony and they can only sell their game on PlayStation Network.
You see, right? This is the idea that I had based on that.
Hmm.
I think every platform should have an indie game store where,
yeah,
in the consoles especially, where you can go to the main store and you can get, I don't know, Spider-Man Miles Morales, but you won't find Hollow Knight.
Yeah.
And there's other store where you'll find your Hollow Knight, you'll find your Loop Hero, whatever game you want to talk about, but you won't find your Miles Morales. And there needs to be that distinction because the market for video games is basically AAA, notch, everything else.
Yeah.
So the storefronts should reflect that, I think. It's something that I thought for a while.
I do think you have a point. I'm just going to come in from the historical left field a little bit, because that was one of the things that they did hope that Steam was going to accomplish on the PC.
Oh, they bottled that.
Yeah, of course they bottled that. I mean, that got bottled really badly. The thing is, right, Sony do not want an independent store on PlayStation.
No, I'm not saying independent. It can still be owned by Sony. It's just the only thing you can get in there is indie games.
I'll be honest. I would have an independent store. I would have an independent store that is allowed. The reason I'm saying this is because it kind of goes back to Apple versus Epic, which is the other big lawsuit that everyone knows about, right?
Yeah.
Not even going to get into the nitty gritty of that, and I don't care who won, who lost. I don't really give a crap. What I think, though, and it's something that we've said before, it has to come down to legislation, and I think that what we need is an independent indie games store that is separate completely from the console manufacturers, all of them, and from Valve and Steam and from GOG and all of and Epic and the rest. It needs to be an independent one, preferably run by a network of indie developers who basically have, maybe they have unpaid directorships for it, but it's there to represent the interests of indie developers all over the world.
Yeah.
Right? So kind of a quorum for indie developers where they can come and meet up and they can also present their games and sell them. Now, I know that Itch kind of had some ambitions a little bit along those lines, didn't quite work, but I would love to see that, and I would love to see that as something that would be embraced by Sony and said, okay, this is an alternative storefront, but we're going to allow it on our PlayStation because they are making games for the PlayStation. They don't have to be tied into an exclusive contract from us. They can also make games for other platforms and actually survive as a developer.
Yeah.
And I think that is the key thing. How many of these developers have had really good ideas, but those ideas have basically been strangled at birth because of costs? Because of costs.
Yeah.
And that is what... Right. I keep saying the same thing. Don't waste talent. It's too hard to come by. And so many indie developers get put off making games because the walls are just too high. The barriers are just too big. The costs are just too much. They go off and do something else.
Okay.
You know? And I think that what console manufacturers and what storeholders now need to do is take a step back and really examine their storefronts and think, are we doing the best we can? Are we being as diverse as we can? Is there space for an independent storefront that just represents these smaller developers?
Yeah, of course there is. It's about desire.
I think there is.
It's about desire for it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that is a question that can only really be answered by Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo. I know Nintendo doesn't have any desire for it, but Nintendo and indie games are doing quite well, as is. Could do better, obviously. They could all do better. But yeah, there's got to be that desire for the companies to actually make these storefronts and provide a legitimate, open, and fair platform for all indie games.
Yeah, but the thing is, it will never happen as long as one of the big three console manufacturers is at the helm of it. It will never be independent and free and fair, because they will always think about their own interests first.
It won't happen, though, at the end of the day.
thing is, it won't affect them at the end of the day, but if they are at the helm of it, it will be steered and geared towards their interests. So they can't be at the helm of it. That's why I said it has to be like a quorum of indie developers from small to medium size, even some of the larger ones. But it has to be aimed and run solely by indies.
Yeah, have like powerful groups like Devolver and Annapurna sort of be pivotal figures in it.
Being pivotal figures and leading the way, and let people benefit from their experience as well.
Because I don't know whether this was a news story or whether I'm just imagining it in the heat of the moment, but Devolver Digital were talking about going public with their shares, and I think they were quoted as being worth £1 billion, $1 billion in the stock exchange.
I think so, yeah.
Which, for a company which releases stuff like they do, is a monumental, staggering achievement. A fair play and well done to them for doing that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it just goes to show that the medium of video games and the people who play video games, there's a diversity there that is that you won't find in anything outside of probably comic books, I'd say.
Yeah, comic books is even more of a mess than video games is.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, but it is.
And when I say comic books, I'm including manga in that as well. But yeah, I think that that's the only thing I can think of that is as that is probably more diverse than video games. But in terms of entertainment media that we can consume on a daily basis easily, video games is the most diverse, barring the obvious exception.
I'm going to close in this thought.
Yeah.
There was a comment made in the news recently by I think it was an analyst of retail analyst on the news who said basically, in regards to the closing of Gap, I think it was.
Yeah.
That the pandemic has exaggerated mediocrity and the closure of mediocrity. If companies were struggling to get by, the pandemic sped up their demise. And I think that's true of video games, really. These fissures and cracks in the video game industry, the problems, probably could have went on fine for another few years. Nobody would have bothered. But the pandemic has revealed them more than I think anybody ever wanted them to be revealed.
Yeah.
So now is the time for video game industry to sort of take stock of what is what and what matters and really push forward for the future. Because when a video game, when an industry becomes the biggest on the planet by far, more eyes are on it.
Yeah.
More and more eyes are on it. And I think, yeah, all those things together sort of are creating this popular moment of things need to change for the better. And the YouTube influencers, let's call them, and Twitter comment threads, they're too hysterical and caught up in the moment to look at the big picture. And I think that's what we were trying to do in this video.
That is exactly what we're trying to do in this video, because and I want to call out the influencers and the YouTubers, right? I am going to call you all out, all of you, right?
But at the
end of the day, they are the first ones to criticize, but they're also the first ones to buy, right? If you truly believe, if you truly have the courage of your convictions, all of you, then vote with your wallet, don't buy their products, and actually go public and say, I am no longer supporting you until you change your policies. Do it. I challenge you to do it.
And on that, if you've got anything to add to this conversation, please do comment below, because it's a heated conversation. It's an interesting conversation. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll chat back, as long as it's not insults. Because if it's insults, I will delete your ass.
He means that quite literally.
Yeah, I'll come into your house with like a...
with a giant eraser, and your ass will be deleted.
With Henry the Hoover, and I'll just, you know, me and him together, man, we'll take over the world. Just enlighten it a little bit. But yeah, please do subscribe, click the notification bell, like, subscribe, whatever. If you're on podcast providers, do on the Impossible Mission Omni feed, please do subscribe on that too and give us a rating and a review. That does help a great deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, Patreon. We got exclusive content. Some Patreons are on the screen right now. Please do join them. Please do help me. Allow us to do more content and grow as a thing. And but until next time, where hopefully it'll be a bit less heated of a Impossible Mission. And I think it is, actually. So yeah, we've got some other episodes coming up.
Yes.
What do we have?
We have a really, really, really good one. And it's all about lighthearted entertainment. It's all about what could be the future of video games. We're talking about wholesome games. We're talking about games where you basically you don't have to fight? I mean, how cool an idea is that?
Well, we'll find out in the next episode, won't we? Not to leave it too open-ended. We want them to come back for that episode. But yeah, until then, thank you. And we will see you in the next video.
Bye!
Stay a while. Stay forever.